hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We're with you on this Monday, the 20th of August, 2007. And we're going to open up the phone lines today, 800-313-9443, go over some of the top issues of the day, and, of course, give you what you get no place else, ladies and gentlemen. It's the John Stadtmiller No Spin Zone. At any rate, the way I interpret the world's goings on. So we will do that this afternoon. And starting tonight, Alan Watt is coming on the network. He will be live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And that's at 7 p.m. That's Central Time here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Just picking up the pieces and putting it all back together. At any rate, look forward to that. And I want to do a follow-up here. The August Review actually wrote a piece, and I'm not quite sure what to make of the August Review. So keeping that in mind, article written by Carl Techrib and talking about the SPP and talking about it being a non-event issue on mainstream news. And this is kind of a follow-up on what we did last week with the dear lady out of Canada, that she was kind enough to spend some time with us and discussing the situation. To me, folks, the North American Union is the situation. Politics aside, and who we're going to generate and put into what office, we'll see by the election time next year. Can they fix all the vote boxes? Can they rig all the debates? Can they rig all of the online polls that are being done, excluding people like Ron Paul? Well, we'll see. I understand Brownback dropped out of the race. Why did he do that? Was he paying attention to the same polls that kept showing Ron Paul of beating the snot on anybody else that came up in a debate? I could only hazard a guess. So the ranks on the debate team, half of them shouldn't even be there. Half of them don't have a ghost chance of getting the number one spot from the Republican Party. John McCain, you know he ain't going anywhere. It's either going to be Mitt Romney or Giuliani. That's who they're going to push. Now, before I shoot off at the hip here and making suggestions that we should be leaning on the Republican Party, and especially the people that, well, they just put up the candidate that's got the best job of defeating the opposition. Well, that's going to have to stop, because no matter who you put up or who you lose to or who wins, you might have noticed the agenda does not change. So I think it's time for the Republican Party to put somebody up as a presidential candidate and to be backed fully by that party that actually is, let's forget about who's going to waste a vote by who's voting for whom. We've gone way past that. And people, quite frankly, are tired of voting for the guy that's least likely to succeed, but the one least likely to do the greatest amount of damage. Already on the number of presidents and congresses heretofore that have done this country in, it's time to stop that. So we're going to do a little research and get you the top names of the people for the GOP and see if we can't put a little pressure where pressure needs to be applied to stop this massive bleeding in this country. We'll be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
America is bankrupt. This comes off of LouRockwell.com. The more I read this, at first, I had a tendency to reject it, but I kept reading. And Mike Rogers in Tokyo makes his point, of which I agree with. Most of what he says here I agree with. He says, a recent trip to the United States after a three-year absence showed me how far the country and its people have deteriorated in a short period of time. Americans are bankrupt. They are bankrupt at every possible level, spiritually, morally, educationally. The country's economy has deteriorated to the level of Philippines or a Thailand. And he says, and I don't mean any respect to the Philippines or Thailand. He said he likes those places. Human-to-human communications inside the United States has also faltered greatly. People who would rank as the vilest of trolls on any internet chat room are now on the air as TV and radio hosts, spewing forth hatred and even barefaced lies. These talking heads do this, of course, to make money, but the effect it has on the average listener is nothing short of devastating. It's devastating to a population not educated to think analytically. It is devastating to the people who, above all, need to open up communication with each other, not close it. Intelligent discussion on American TV and radio has now taken a back seat to a sort of childish one-upmanship. It's no longer a question of who can thrust and parry their opponent into a corner through the use of the beautiful English phrasing and logic. It's now a question of who can belittle the other guy with snappy but rude one-liners. This has affected the mainstream population in its daily affairs, in that the ordinary people come to believe that this is the way to win an argument. Substance and logic all take a back seat to name-calling. The worst culprits are the talk radio show host. Average America doesn't know what's involved in becoming a talk show host, but trust me, just about all these people are no more or less intelligent than you or I. Of course, they keep up on current events better than you and I could. It's their job. While we're putting in a good 8 to 10 hours of work each day, these guys are brushing up on current affairs. As a result, it is very difficult to challenge and defeat them in an on-air discussion, especially when they have control of what goes on air. So to call up a talk show host and try to argue a point and win is akin to pushing water up a hill. It can't be done. I know. I've worked as a talk show host for many years. By the way, another part of the job is being an on-air talent is to keep yourself looking good and in decent physical shape. Guys like Rush Limbaugh are grossly overweight because they are and have been abusing drugs or alcohol. There are many examples to prove my point. John Belushi is an easy example that comes to mind. John never did radio. He did Saturday Night Live and then movies. But at any rate, thus, in modern America, talk show, radio, and TV is not about debating the issues of the day. It is a form for a megalomaniac to make himself or herself look better to an audience that doesn't know any better, and to belittle opponents in front of the people. Now, this never happens in Japan. It doesn't happen because the structure of the Japanese language does not lend itself well to interruption when someone is speaking, and also because the Japanese are polite. But I suspect that it never happens in any other country excepting the United States. This childish behavior is especially damaging to the psyche of the American male. Although women seem to be affected by it, also, witness the so-called soccer moms, he says, it seems that winning is everything. Whatever happened to the saying, it's not whether you win or lose, but how you play the game. Now, I know this phrase does not apply to today's American male. The verbal one-upmanship is insidious as it begins to creep into the other areas of the American psyche. It becomes contagious, is damaging to civil discourse and civil behavior all round. Infantile machismo is a definite trait of today's American. During my recent visit, I witnessed a TV commercial for some sports car. The sales point of the commercial boiled down to this. If you buy this car, the net tells your friends, I'm just a little better than you are. How childish American men have become. What kind of man needs to show off his car and to feel superior to his friends? Well, obviously, this guy has not hung around too much in New York. Because that's the way they do things in New York. In Japan, I've never seen a sports game, especially the so-called pickup games, break down into fisticuffs. Have I seen this in America? He asked the question. Have you folks in America seen this? Yes, far too many times. The last time I witnessed it was in California, when a so-called friendly basketball game turned into a hockey game and a bunch of guys started punching it out over some foul. You would have thought their lives depended on the outcome of that game. It was embarrassing. I was out of the court to get some exercise. I didn't care if we won or lost. I certainly wasn't interested in getting hurt or injured or hit. I walked off. Americans today have become some of the most childish, self-centered adults I have ever seen. A recent trip to Crawford to visit Camp Casey before it really got into full swing allowed me to see for myself another slice, he says, of American life. I had brought my video camera and 8 hours of tape. I was going to make a documentary to try to explain to the Japanese public what was going on there in Texas. Japanese, he puts in as a side note, Japanese news will rarely show anything critical of a foreign government, especially the government of the United States. Goes on to say, I wanted to capture the sights and the sounds, the atmosphere of a real American-style anti-war demonstration. And I had really hoped that I could make this documentary that would show the Japanese just what the average American is thinking. When I came back to Japan, I transferred the videotapes to the editing machine, and I watched in increasing despair. I'm sure I can get an average, I can get the average Japanese to understand what Americans are all about and what they are thinking. I'm sure that if I ever do finish this documentary, and now I'm wondering, he says, if I want to, the Japanese will understand more than they want to understand about America. They will watch it and think Americans have gone completely nuts. He says, I would have to agree. Cindy Sheehan and her movement are quite understandable. Cindy seems like a level-headed woman and plenty of common sense. It's the others who have jumped on the bandwagon who seem crazy. Not all of them, of course, but it did seem a bit like a circus full of freaks. And those freaks were fully represented on both sides of the fence. Even worse than some of the anti-war group were the pro-war people. They seemed like they were really crazy. He said, I only saw six at most, and even though the next day's newspaper reported 250, I talked to one woman who claimed to just have arrived from Baghdad. She was lying, of course. I could pick out that in a second of talking to her. Her English level was that of someone who had just been in the United States for about 10 years. Yet there she was, claiming to have just arrived. Well, okay, I suppose everything is relative, especially in a country where it's now acceptable to out and out lie to get what you want. Now, there's another guy playing a guitar, trying to, and singing. How many ghosts did you make today? Aiding and abetting the enemy, and how many ghosts did you make today? I bet you a donut he hasn't had a clue to the meaning of the word abetting. I suppose a few off-key choruses of this song wouldn't have been so bad, but this guy went on to play straight for at least 6 hours in the blazing sun without a break. Perhaps that would explain his behavior. He's suffering from cooking of the brain in the hot sun for too long. The entire scene from the anti-war group to the pro-war group to George W. Bush taking a helicopter to avoid these groups to visit a Little League game seemed like a Lewis Carroll story. And I was standing there watching Alice, the Mad Hatter, the Red Queen, played by George, of course, and the rest of them scurrying about their business but actually going nowhere. On top of all that, throw in the local TV news reporter with their perfect teeth, slick back blonde hair and makeup caked on so thick to cover their wrinkles, who think they are all hot stuff because they report from some local in the shticks TV station, and you have a real-life horror show on the Comedy Channel. But the real-life horrors in today's America don't end there. Today's American is poor, both monetarily and in common sense, and in many ways these two are related. The Japanese save money, Americans don't. Of course, it is common sense to save money. The Japanese save it for all the right reasons, but they also save money for special reasons. It's those special just-in-case reasons, reasons for which the Japanese would always have a nest egg saved. When I went to the United States this time, I visited a good friend. I considered him one of my best friends. I'm glad I could visit his place because then I could truly see for myself just how far America has gone downhill. Even though he had little, he was gracious enough to let me stay with him. I was thankful for this, and as without his help, I had no way to get around and knew no one else could help me to do so. But within 2 minutes of entering his abode, I could just see how poor middle America has really become. My friend had no money, none. He asked me for $20 for gas. I gave him $100. He was happy. I was greatly disappointed for many reasons. First off, I'm sorry, America, but $100 is just not that much money to most of the Western world, or China or Japan, for that matter. I was disappointed that he would ask me for money. Don't get me wrong, I don't blame him. He's lived all his life in America and has been brought up there. He has been taught that this is now acceptable behavior, but I remember a time when it wasn't. It was unheard of in Japan, and I suspect in all Asian societies. In Japan, a guest is a guest. A guest in your home, especially one from far away, is to be treated with reverence. It would be completely unthinkable to ask the guest for money, although it's also common sense in Japan for the guest to offer to pay, an offer which would certainly be refused. I know it used to be this way in America. In Japan, honor and respect are much more valuable than money. If you had a guest come to stay in your house in Japan and you had no money, you would borrow money. You'd do something in order to treat your guest with the utmost respect. It's absolutely unheard of to ask a guest for money. He says, reminds me of a Chevy Chase movie, Vegas Vacation. I'll cover that when we get back. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill? It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
They railed against the crown, another ragtag band, declaring independence. Laid their bodies down.
Says in the story, which, by the way, he was fired from every FM radio show in Japan, one station 3 times. He says in the story, it says, reminds me of the Chevy Chase movie, Vegas Vacation, where he and his family visit his wife's broke family and brother-in-law. Brother-in-law says to Chevy, would you like a cold one? Well, Chevy Chase answers, sure. To which the brother-in-law replies, me too. Got any money? Now, that was a joke in a movie released in 97. It's not a joke anymore in today's America. From what I've seen, the average 30-year-old college-educated guy in America is getting paid less than I was paid back in 1975 as a part-time commissioned salesman at Sears Roebuck department store. I have friends who tell me that they are getting $6 or $8 an hour right now at $40 hours a week. That works out to be about $320 less taxes. In 1975, I was getting paid over $1,000 per month after taxes, and those were in 1975 dollars. I'm no economist, but it sure comes as no surprise that today's young Americans have no money left to save after receiving the paltry income. When my friend took me around, driving through the city and out to Camp Casey, we stopped at a gasoline station. Of course, I volunteered to pay. He was complaining about the sudden rise in the price of gasoline. Here was where I witnessed just another small item that made me sure that America is heading for the third world status, if not already there. He was complaining about gasoline at $3 a gallon. I hear that in Atlanta, after Hurricane Katrina, it hit $6 a gallon. I shook my head and thought, when are these crazy people going to wake up? Apparently, it's good that the USA invaded Iraq to secure oil. Japan has no natural resources. America does. America even has its own oil. Guess what? About 7 years ago, the price for a liter of gasoline in Japan was 100 yen. Now, that's 3.78 liters per gallon. That price today is about 125 yen per liter. That means today's price for a gallon of gasoline in Japan, a nation that produces no oil, is about $4.58, an increase of 25% over the last 7 years. Now, it doesn't take much of a math whiz to figure out that if the prices at the pumps in America, a nation that produces oil, have doubled in the last few years, then there's something strange going on. How is it possible that Japan's gasoline prices have just barely inched up over these past few years at about 3% a year, while in the USA prices have doubled or even more? Is it just the Iraq War, or is it the decline of the dollar? Probably a bit of both, but you can definitely be sure of one thing. If the U.S. government, taking advantage of you, regardless of whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, and the average American still cheers on the federal monster. After filling up, he says we headed back into the freeway. I looked at the scenery and had a feeling of deja vu. I thought to myself, hey, I've seen this before. Now, where did I see it? Then it came back to me. The road leading to Crawford looked an awful lot like the road leading from Phuket International Airport towards Patong Beach. A nice place, but definitely not a road leading through a world power. Every once in a while, we would pass through some small towns. The buildings decayed and shuttered, a shadow of what it once was. And beside the run-down buildings and the empty streets, there was the filth. It was everywhere. Everything seemed to be broken down. Public restrooms reeked as if they had never been cleaned. Every once in a while, I could see a solitary homeless figure, dazed and disheveled, walking by the side of the road. It looked like just some third-world nation. You'd never see such poverty in Japan, but that's today's United States. Americans are always boasting about how they are the richest and the freest, etc., etc., etc. But from the eyes of this American sun, America's twilight has fallen. It's getting dark. I cannot see any way out of this disaster you folks are headed for. The problems are too numerous, the needed debate unheard, and the psyche has already destroyed. That was written about 2 years ago from Mike Rogers. One of these days I'm going to get him on the program. But this is kind of a snapshot of somebody that's been living in Japan, in a different culture. Japan is certainly different. I don't know. Tokyo, to me, seems like New York City on steroids. But aside from that, they do have a different culture. And it was a culture similar to what we had in this country, where they would revere their elders, their parents, especially their grandparents. I mean, what could you say to the grandparents that were the mother and the father of your mother and father? I mean, that's some pretty heady stuff, and the Japanese always acted accordingly. Here in this country, I remember back in the 60s, we were told, don't trust anybody over 30. Don't trust your government. Don't trust Joe Blow that doesn't have his hair down to his buttocks. And it's peace, love, and dope. Just get laid, smoke dope, everything is going to be just fine. And oh, by the way, we'll communize everything along the way, so we don't need any fences. We don't need no stinking private property. We don't need any of those things. You know, we're the richest people, so we need to give. Well, folks, I think America has gave out. We are a country that it seems to me that we just tolerate abuse after abuse after abuse. And we've settled on becoming victims in our own country. That there's nothing we can do about this. There's not really anything we can say about it. It is at the hands of people that in power that are untouchable, that somehow that they've got the grand wisdom that they know what's best for us all. Well, that might be, that kind of philosophy might be included in a communist country or its next cousin, the socialist country, but not in America. It is time for Americans to wake up and become American again. Just when we were starting to figure out what that meant, we've lost all that ground, and now we're back to groping on, who are we? Well, I know who I am. Who are you?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
From Asia Times Online, U.S. steps closer to war with Iran. The Bush administration has leaped toward war with Iran by, in essence, declaring war with the main branch of Iran's military, the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps, or the IRGC, which it plans to brand as a terrorist organization. A logical evolution of the U.S. President George W. Bush's ill-defined boundless war on terror, the White House, its move is dangerous to the Corps, opening the way for open confrontation with Iran. Now, this may begin in Iraq, where the IRGC is reportedly most active, and ironically, where the U.S. and Iran have their largest common denominators. A New York Times editorial has dismissed this move as amateurish and a mere theatric on the part of the lame duck president, while at the same time admitting that it represents a concession to conflict-obsessed administration hawks who are lobbying for military strikes. The political analysts who argue that the main impact of this initiative is political are plain wrong. It is a giant step towards war with Iran, irrespective of how well or poorly it is thought of, particularly in terms of its intermediate and long-term implications, let alone the timing of it. coinciding with President Muammar Ahmadinejad's highly publicized trip to Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, and Kyrgyzstan, the news received front-page coverage in the New York Times next to a photograph of Ahmadinejad and his Afghan host, President Hamid Karzai. As if intended to spoil Ahmadinejad's moment by denigrating the Iranian regime, just 2 years ago, U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice implicitly put Iran on par with the Soviet Union by invoking comparisons to the Cold War, in essence compared it to Al-Qaeda. Now, thus, if an unintended side effect of the Cold War terminology was to enhance Iran's global image, the terrorist label for the IRGC aims to deliver a psychological blow to Iran by delegitimizing the country. Also, it serves the United States' purpose at the United Nations Security Council, where a British prepared draft of a new round of sanctions on Iran over its nuclear program has been floating around for a while and will likely be acted on this autumn. This draft calls for tightening the screws on Iran by broadening the list of blacklisted Iranian companies and even may lead to the interdiction of Iranian ships in the Persian Gulf. This is indeed a dangerous move that could easily trigger open confrontation. With a window of opportunity for Bush to use the military option closing because of the U.S. presidential elections next year, the administration's hawks is "it is now or never" have received a huge boost by the move to label the IRGCs as terrorist. It paves the way for potential U.S. strikes at the IRGC's installations inside Iran, perhaps as a prelude to a broader attack on the country's nuclear facilities. At least that is how it's being interpreted in Iran, whose national security concerns have skyrocketed as a result of the labeling. A prominent Tehran University political scientist who wished to remain anonymous told the author of this story, "The U.S. doublespeak with Iran, talking security cooperation on one hand, and on the other ratcheting up the war rhetoric, does not make sense and gives the impression that the supporters of the dialogue have lost in Washington." Now, the U.S. has unfettered itself for a strike on Iran by targeting the IRGC, and that translates into heightened security concerns. The United States never branded the KGB, that being the Russian Secret Service, or the Soviet Army as being terrorist, and that shows the limits of the Cold War comparison. The Tehran political scientist said his only optimism, there are two U.S. governments speaking with divergent voices, that being deterrence diplomacy and a preemptive action, and that usually, historically speaking, spells policy paralysis. However, no one in Iran can possibly place too much faith on that kind of optimism. Rather, the net effect of this labeling, following the recent shoot-to-kill order of Bush with regard to Iranian operatives in Iraq accused of aiding the anti-occupation insurgents, is to elevate fears of U.S. preemptory strike on Iran. Particularly concerned are many top government officials, lawmakers, and present or former civil and military functionaries who are or were at some point affiliated with the IRGC. Now, there's also a legal implication. Under international law, the United States' move could be challenged as illegal, untenable, by isolating a branch of the Iranian government for selective targeting. This is contrary to the 1981 Algiers Accord, that pledge of non-interference in Iran's internal affairs by the United States government. Should the terror label on the IRGC be in place soon, U.S. Customs and Homeland Security officials could, theoretically, arrest members of Ahmadinejad's delegation due to travel to the United Nations headquarters in New York next month because of suspected ties to the IRGC. Even Ahmadinejad, with his past as a commander of the Basic Corps, a paramilitary arm of the IRGC, risk arrest. The U.S. has opened a Pandora's box with a hasty decision that may have unintended consequences far beyond its planned, and he says planned, coercive diplomacy toward Iran. The first casualty could be the U.S.-Iran dialogue on Iraq security, although this would simultaneously appease Israel hawks who dread dialogue and any hints of Cold War-style detente between Tehran and Washington. It would also become more difficult for Syria to collaborate with Iran with respect to Lebanon's Hezbollah, who owe much to the IRGC since their inception in the early 1980s. The consensus in Iran is that chaos in Iraq is in Israel's interests, but not that of the U.S., and that the United States' Middle East policy is being held hostage by pro-Israel lobbyists who have painted the enemy image of the dreaded IRGC that is neither accurate nor in tune with the history of the U.S.-IRGC interaction. And going into the U.S. and the IRGC, the current noise masks a hidden history of cooperation between the U.S. military and the IRGC in Bosnia-Herzegovina, Afghanistan, and more likely, Iraq. In Bosnia, the U.S. military and intelligence interacted with the IRGC, which had trained Bosnian Muslims and fought alongside it against their Serbian enemies. They also funneled arms to the IRGC, mainly through Croatia, with the tacit consent of the U.S. government. In Afghanistan, U.S. military commanders have had similar interaction with commanders of the IRGC, including the elite, I think this is QUDS, Q-U-D-S, division of the IRGC, which supported anti-Taliban forces and helped those forces take over Kabul in 2001 with relative ease. In Iraq, the IRGC has supported various Shiite militias, as well as the Iraqi military and intelligence, and unofficially, it can credit for the relative stability of the 8 Shiite provinces, including those in the south. The new U.S. diplomatic engagement over Iran, over Iraq, is having direct and immediate effects on Iran's behavior inside Iraq, promising further results by joint expert committees set up as a result of the latest round in the dialogue. Yet true to the United States' traditional Janus-faced approach toward Iran, and if you don't know who Janus is, it's the two-faced mythical god, approach toward Iran, just as Iranian and U.S. military and intelligence officials are about to embark on a systematic discussions over Iraq and regional security, they will in effect be prevented from doing so by the labeling of the IRGC as terrorists. The idea of an all-out military confrontation between the U.S. and Iran triggered by a U.S. attack on the IRGC has its watered-down version in the war of attrition, whereby instead of interstate warfare, we would witness medium to low-intensity clashes. The question, then, is whether or not the U.S. superpower, addicted to its military doctrine of superior and overwhelming response, will tolerate occasional bruises at the hands of the Iranians. The answer is highly unlikely, given the myriad of prestige issues involved in turn, this raises the advisability of the labeling initiative with such a huge implications nested in it. No matter. The stage is now set for direct physical clashes between Iran and the U.S., which has blamed the death of hundreds of its soldiers on Iranian-made roadside bombs. One plausible scenario is the United States' hot pursuit of the IRGC inside Iranian territory, initially, though, hit-and-run commando operations, soliciting an Iranian response, direct or indirect, potentially spiraling out of control. By the way, a little side note here, we have been doing operations inside of Iran for many months now to try to destabilize that government. I guess there goes the Algiers Accord. And, gee, we weren't under the Algiers Accord when we decided to install the Shah of Iran back in 1953. I do believe that was the year I was born. The Iranians were not really happy with that. And then you saw the reaction by installing Ayatollah Khomeini, which might have been a righteous dude with the Iranians, but he kind of rubbed the Americans the wrong way. See, we can't deal with non-secular governments, only secular governments. You ever notice that? We can only deal with people that deny God and his attributes in the functioning of their own governments, which has always mystified me. You want any further on that? Just look at Israel's past. Now, he finishes up by saying the hallucination of a protracted small warfare with Iran, that would somehow insulate both sides from an unwanted big clash of titans is just that, a fantasy born and bred in the minds of war-obsessed hawks in Washington and Israel. By the way, side note here, the Algerians' accord of January 19, 1981 was brokered by the Algerian government between the U.S. and Iran to resolve the situation that arose from the capture of the American citizens in the U.S. embassy in Tehran in 1979. Through this accord, the U.S. citizens were set free. Among its provisions, it was stated that the U.S. would not intervene in Iranian internal affairs. But of course, present-day need outweighs any pacts made in the past. You want to deal with the United States? Always have yourself a fresh contract and a brand new pen. Because that contract, whatever you say in that contract, whatever is it adhered to, the flesh being pressed and the looks in the eyes, don't worry, that'll change. And it'll change according to the latest and greatest whatever. Whatever dribble comes out of Washington, D.C. You know, it fascinates me. I was thinking about this the other day, that when the politicians in Washington, D.C. cite that we have to do an action in a foreign country because of our national security, what the hell are they talking about? What exactly are they saying? Why did we have to invade Iraq? Because they had somebody over there that was in power that pretty much most of the people were okay with. Now, do we have our own Saddam Hussein here in the United States? Yeah, buddy, we got him on steroids. His name's George W. Bush. That would make, I think, the former president of Iraq look like a piker. Because what this president has done by waging a war on a country or two here and there in the Middle East has about cost about 1 million lives so far. Geez, there was all this talk about the former Iraqi president dealing with his political adversaries by shooting them, or geez, these mass graves that we heard about. He was using chemical weapons on his own people, which we sold him, by the way, back in the 80s. We even have Donnie Rumsfeld shaking hands with the character. See, Saddam Hussein was used, just as our young men and women in the military are being used right now. It's just cannon fodder, baby. That's all it is. Somebody please tell me one sane, logical reason why we should be in Iraq today and possibly Iran tomorrow. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, ladies and gentlemen. If you want a war against terror, well, keep making the terrorist. And who are these terrorists? I've said this many times before, one man's terrorist, another man's freedom fighter. Just depends on your political point of view. Or who's holding the bigger gun, and who gets to write the history books. It is a situation that is being played politics, that they're playing politics with it still to this day in Washington, D.C. Should we remove the troops? Well, we can't do that because that would give aid and information to the enemies over there in Iraq. What enemies are they talking about? The insurgents? The people that want the U.S. the hell out of there? Is that what insurgents? Oh, so let's switch this up. One day we'll call them terrorists. The next day we'll call them insurgents. Just as they played games with suicide bombers versus, what was the other term they used? Suicide bombers and... the implication was that it was murder. Okay, these were murder terrorists, not suicide bombers. They were terrorists. You know, they would use, depending on what political wind of the day was blowing, on what term they used. If you don't want to be terrorized by a bunch of people that are really pissed off, get out of their sandbox. Go home. Which would save us roughly, would have saved us, they keep saying, 3,700 of our military. Folks, times that by at least three, maybe even four. We've lost over 12,000 military personnel in actions in Afghanistan and also Iraq. Conservatively speaking, 750,000 Iraqis, men, women, and children are now dead, with many more yet to die from malnutrition, poor health care. Oh, and let's not forget the depleted uranium that we showered all over those, all over their country, that is causing birth defects today and for many years to come. You see, when we want to get on our high horse and we want to go save the planet, we better make damn sure as to what we're trying to accomplish. You know what it's down to now, right now? We're giving democracy to the Iraqi people, whether they wanted it or not. And as Jay Leno once said on his evening program, comedy program, but it was true, why are we setting up democracy in the Middle East? What is democracy? Read what our founding fathers read about democracy. Well, Jay Leno said, well, why don't we just give them our Constitution? We're not using it here anyhow. There is a difference, folks, between a republic, and especially a constitutionally limited one, and a democracy. So the United States is now setting up the biggest gangs, 51%. If they're backed by enough money and enough guns, hey, why not? We can kill the other 49%. After all, it's the will of the people in our democracy. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered them, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Do this short piece, and then we'll pick up with the more in-depth information in the next hour. I heard this on CNN this morning. I had to check this out. Associated Press story Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. People in the United States are living in a world of pain, and they're popping pills at an alarming rate to cope with it. The amount of 5 major prescription painkillers sold at retail establishments rose 88% between 1997 and 2005, according to the Associated Press analysis of statistics from the Drug Enforcement Administration. More than 200,000 pounds, that's 90,720 kilograms, if you're of that persuasion, of codeine, morphine, OxyContin. Some of these I can't even read. I'm sure they're derivatives of the aforementioned. Were purchased at retail stores during the most recent year represented in the data. The total is enough to give more than 300 milligrams of painkillers to every person in the country. Oxycodone, the chemical used in OxyContin, is responsible for most of the increase. Now, oxycodone jumped nearly sixfold between 97 and 2005. The drug gained notoriety as hillbilly heroin, often bought and sold illegally in Appalachia, but its highest rates of sale now occur in places as suburban St. Louis, Columbus, Ohio, or Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The world of pain extends beyond big cities and involves more than oxycodone. In Appalachia, retail sales of hydrocodone, sold mostly as Vicodin, are the highest in the nation. 9 of 10 areas with the highest per capita sales are in mostly rural parts of West Virginia, Kentucky, or Tennessee. Don't ask me why. That's what the story says. While retail sales of codeine have fallen off by one quarter since 97, some of the highest rates of sales are in communities around Kansas City, Nashville, and New York. The DEA figures analyzed by the AP included nationwide sales and distribution of drugs by hospitals, retail pharmacies, doctors, and teaching institutions. Federal investigators studied that same data trying to identify illegal prescription patterns. The AP investigation found these reasons for the increase. The population is getting older. As age increases, so does the need for pain medication. I don't buy that, folks. The old aches and pains that you feel, you deal with them on a daily basis. You don't need to drop an OxyContin to get your butt out of bed. They say in 2000 there were 35 million people older than 65. By 2020, the Census Bureau estimates the number of the elderly in the U.S. will reach 54 million. Drug makers have embarked on an unprecedented marketing campaign. Spending on drug marketing has gone from $11 billion in 97 to nearly 3 times that amount, or over $30 billion. In 2005, congressional investigations found that to be true. Profit margins along the leading companies routinely have been 3 and 4 times higher than that in Fortune 500 industries. A major change in pain management philosophy is now in its 3rd decade. Doctors who once advised patients that pain is a part of the healing process began reversing course in the early 1980s. Most now see pain management as an important ingredient in overcoming illness. What I think it is, folks, I think people are in pain, and it might even be affecting them physically. But what they really need to have done is to have their head examined. Or maybe a critical self-analysis. If you've got something that's causing you pain, reject that is causing you the pain. And I've got a laundry list too numerous to mention. We'll take the break. Take your calls into the next hour at 800-313-9443. I want to cover, when we get back, what's going on in Canada today. That's right. Bush is up there, along with Calderon from Mexico, well, to just do a little bit more work on the security and prosperity partnership that everybody else denies even exists. We'll be right back. With